G'day everyone and welcome to the crossover, your weekly dose of NBA, ADP battles and some shenanigans that Kingy and I get up to. I am your host, Matty G, and your other host is Adam King. How are you, Kingy?
Good. I made it. We're here. It'll be interesting. My head is really foggy at the moment, but I think we'll get through it okay.
Yeah, your head is foggy and your nose is cloggy. You've got a lot of E's going on.
I do. Yeah, but no, we can't stop for fantasy basketball, can we?
You broke down like the biggest day in fantasy basketball today, and I was just like, how is he going to be able to back this up?
Yeah, I didn't do it very well, but I did it. because I was at home today watching the games, but I kept falling asleep. So I saw bits and pieces, and then I had to go and watch replays and stuff. But I made it, and we've got tomorrow off, so.
We do have. It's like Sabbath for the fantasy basketball heads in the world. I was so busy. I've been away with the wife for a couple of days. She just needed to get on to. She wanted some downtime. So we had a baby moon because we have a baby due in January. So I was like, this is the last time we took our son away. And it was his first time on like a sailboat and everything. Yeah. It was quite cute and wholesome. And you're heading away. Where are you off to this way, Kingy?
Yeah, we're just heading up to Jamboree. Anyone who lives this side of Australia probably knows where Jamboree is. It's up near it's near you actually, not that far from you, up in the Wollongong Kiama sort of area. So we're gonna take the kids up there for a couple of days.
Well, let's get down to business because this is the crossover. We do a weekly topic of choice, and also we do a bit of a game breakdown for those who missed your live show this afternoon, and also we do some really fun ADP battles throughout the show. You did catch up with all the 15 games of the day. I want to catch up with them with you as well, just to go over some of the big nightly notables, I guess we could say. What did you think was one of your biggest nightly notables? Because one of the guys who played today, who was disappointing again, will make my starting five, my disappointment all-stars first team. Tonight, what were some of the big notables from you? Let's take away anything notable from the Lakers-Pistons game.
Lakers-Pistons, I've got to remember. Look, I thought Duren actually held himself pretty well. Like, I thought coming up against the Lakers, against AD, he's just going to get smoked. I can't remember who I benched, but I know I considered benching him because I thought, he's probably not going to have a good game, but he was all right. He had a double-double with a steal and a block. Jaden Ivey, I put out a tweet earlier about just asking people for who the best player they benched was and the worst player they started. A lot of people benched Jaden Ivey, and he was pretty good.
He's been pretty good all season. This is the guy who I picked up in. I've got him in like, I think in your little tallies, I've got Ivy in like three or four leagues. I think he was just under like, I've invested a lot in a lot of guys this year. And it's something that I don't do all the time where I'm like, you know what? If this guy falls here, I'm going to take them and see where it goes. I know Mally from Insights, like I will not take the same guy twice in two different leagues. Like he is just so risk adverse to having the same guy in one, which I think is a good strategy because it's not going to break your heart all of the time. Especially in fantasy, like we get guys that we love and then I have a look. I've got Anthony Davis everywhere and I'm absolutely petrified of him going down, which I guess is a concern sometimes, but not always. Other big notables from, let's say, from the night going, touching on the games quickly. After that one, we had the Cavaliers undefeated again versus the Milwaukee Bucks, 8-0, a franchise record. Equaling start, they go to 9-0 and that's it. That's the record.
Yeah, they're... they're just sort of, they haven't been outstanding. They're just playing really well. Narrow victory tonight, so it was a close one. I thought Garland's looking better. Not really a lot to talk about in terms of fantasy on from the Cavs. I mean, it's four guys and that's it. And then the Bucks, it's Giannis who didn't play tonight. Lillard was good. Portis was good, which he always is when Giannis misses time.
This is the one game of the week where Damian Lillard will be good. Let's just say that because Lillard hasn't been consistently good. So this not was yet. Maybe the one, not yet. This was the one game. This is the one game of the week that you can almost expect from him. But he was good. Portis, do you think Portis has been a nice little back end pickup for this year?
He's been all right. I'm not as high as him. I'm just pulling up what he is now. I'm not as high as him as others, but where are we? Oh, I don't want today's bloody rankings. I want
open Porto.
I know he's been, yeah, look, he's sort of, I mean, he does enough to be rostered just because if you can get a centre that's going to not kill your free throws, he'll give you a three.
From time 135 on 135 on the year, nine cap.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean 12 points, nine rebounds, and a block. It's fine, but it's he needs Giannis out. To have really good value. But no, look, he's fine as a really back end guy.
Revenge match today. Jordan Poole again with defensive player of the year candidate. Jordan Poole, four blocks, three steals. The only one lighting up teams with the cheeky amount of stocks today was Wemby, apart from this bloke. That was absolutely incredible. Also, Saar looking good in the starting lineup as well. Bub Carrington, which we like to see. There were some interesting little bits to pick up on that Warriors and Wizards game.
Yeah, I mean, Poole just keeps rolling. I mean, you enjoy it while you can. Bub Carrington's looked pretty good. I think I started him in one or two leagues today. 16, 8 and 7. Saar, he was a bit slow to start the season, but he's been really good. Kyshawn George has been interesting. Field goal percentage is pretty rough, but apart from that, like he's getting defensive stats. I'm reading this right that he attempted 17 three-pointers.
You are reading this. It's not the cold and flu medication. It is 17 three-pointers.
Yeah.
Kyshawn George just decided to be like, hold my beer and go for the all-time record of franchise threes. Kyle Kuzma was just on the bench saying, just go out there and shoot. Do what I would do. 17 threes attempted, which is crazy considering when you think about their opponent today was one. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, and Steph only took nine. The interesting thing there for me is we'll get to one of these guys a little bit later on, but Buddy Hield today in 27 minutes, the 20 points, this was a complete start line from Buddy Hield in these 27 minutes. Wiggins down after the decent start. Is this a case that it's like really a sell high? It's got to be a sell high on Buddy Hield 100% at this point.
Yeah, it is. If you can get it, I think people will remember back to what he did or what he didn't do last year. He was pretty bad. So, I think it's been a really good fit for him playing. The Warriors system is built for perimeter scoring, as we know. So, but he's not, I mean, it's not sustainable. What's he shooting?
Ridiculously. The last I saw,
he was 50% from three, I think.
Here we go. I had it up here because I remember seeing him today and he was a top 20 player. Here we go.
Yeah.
He's shooting 514% from three. Oh, no, that's his field goal percentage.
No, that's field goal, 50% from three.
50 from three. There you go. So he is absolutely lighting it up.
Yeah, look, 50 probably isn't sustainable, not on his volume anyway. Occasionally we get guys that are close to 50, but it's people like Luke Kennard who are only attempting – three or four a game, that sort of thing. So, I think it probably is a pretty big sell high. I mean, he's the 10th ranked player for the year.
Nuts. Yeah.
If I could move him for a top 50, even maybe a top 70, I probably would. But I don't know if anyone's going to give you that sort of value. So if they don't, you just, same as with Jordan Poole, you just hold him and ride it out.
Next game of the day was the Celtics absolutely demoralizing the Atlanta Hawks. There's nothing to get here. Trae Young, Dyson Daniels, they pulled the starters and Capella only played 16 minutes. The Celtics look continually impressive. An average game, one would almost say for Tatum. The man has just extended his reach 6 from 14 from three, though. That's just a casual day at the office for Jason Tatum right now.
Yeah, he's been very good. There's never really a lot to talk about for the Celtics, Peyton Pritchard seems to be a thing. We've
Peyton Pritchard is a thing.
We've seen him flash this in the past, but he's probably got to be in the discussion, if not leading the discussion, for sixth man of the year. I'd have to go through and look at other teams, but
You just need to look at Sportsbet. No, you've got to look at Sportsbet. You don't look at anything else at this point in time. You just look at the player awards.
So I don't know where to go and look. But
I know. This is why. Okay, well, he's moved into now the rank favourite. He has now moved in ahead of Buddy Hield. And Malik Monk a week ago was the number one player. He's now paying 8-1, Malik Monk. Taking over from him, Buddy Hield at 750-1. And Peyton Pritchard is now 5-1 odds, which still seems like really good money there. To be honest, I'm more of a fan that if he comes back because they need him and it's never been glaring, their opponent today, the Atlanta Hawks, you could still get a little bit of money action on Bogdan Bogdanovic. And he has slipped right down the money order now. I can't even see him in here because he hasn't played a game yet. But if he comes out of the blocks and he's hitting, I can tell you now, I can't even see him on this list because he hasn't played a game. So if he's not even making that list of favorites right now, because Benedict Mathurin has moved up to 9-1, that's a guy you want to keep your eyes on the tote where that falls out. Very interested on your thoughts, though, on another game of the day. This was one that I was very – there's a lot of games. Biggest highlights here, I would like to see the Jazz today getting a win over – I thought this was great. The Jazz getting a win over the Chicago Bulls today, this was great. Keontae George, 33 points, 9 assists – an absolutely huge night, and a bloke who I accidentally left on the bench, John Collins, 28 points, 13 rebounds today. That was a huge game from John Collins. I had him on the bench. That was a horrible mistake by me.
Yeah.
My Fantrax didn't update.
No, it looks like a few people had him on the bench, so you're not alone.
I know.
Yeah, look, it was a good game from him, and Keontae, very good as well. Even Sexton had 24-5 steal block, so probably his best game of the year. Kessler was good. I think this is a little bit about just how bad the Bulls are defensively. Which, I mean, when you're rolling Taylor and Horton Tucker out there for 28 minutes,
I
don't know what you really expect. But it was good. Good to see the Jazz get a win because they've looked pretty bad so far.
This was a breakout game for Ayo Dosunmu in many ways as well. Got the starting at the small forward spot. This is a guy that I like to – he was really horribly down, and he's not rostered. Have you got his ownership there? This is a guy who – Ayo Dosunmu. He is not owned. It's really low, but this is a nice game for him. Now, I know there were outs. I know he's on the waiver wire in a few. Buzel is only getting 4 minutes, but this is a guy – who we really liked last year. There was obviously no Zach LaVine in the lineup for this game, but this is what he's capable of. So we just want to monitor that situation because if there is some extended time for LaVine, this is the pickup that we need to make very, very quickly like we did last year.
So I've just pulled it up. So Yahoo is rostered in 15% of leagues. Look, he's been sort of right on that cut line for me this year, and I've sort of tried to preach – try and hold him just because it only takes one injury for him to step into a bigger role. And we saw that today. So hopefully if LaVine misses time, we don't know whether he will, but if he does, Dosunmu, make sure he's not available in your league.
Well, let's weave some ADP battle magic into this one, because you mentioned one of the guys who we are going to talk about for our ADP battles on this one, Kingy. You didn't mention Walker Kessler earlier, another good game for him. And he is one of your lead ADP battles. I want you to take this through because I love both of these guys. And one of them was a bargain basement pickup, in my opinion, in draft season. This is our first one of the night. It is Walker Kessler versus Jakob the Turtle Pirtle is our first ADP battle. Talk us through your thinking on this one, mate.
I was just really scrolling. So I looked at the ranks for the last 2 weeks. I can't remember what we did last year. Was it two or three weeks that we looked at?
First 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
First like 10 so games, I was looking at eight the, games.
Yeah, so I was looking at the two-week rankings, and I try to include guys that I've drafted in at least one or two leagues, or guys that I was relatively high on, and Kessler was sort of one of those that after the preseason we thought, okay, he's going to start, he's going to play good minutes, let's see what he can do. So I found him. He's 38th over the last 2 weeks. And then I just looked and saw, well, Jakob Poeltl's right next to him. And he is someone that I think people just forgot about a bit because he was sort of
injured last year.
Yeah, injured.
Well, he was injured and taken out. So he really does fit that, like, forgot about me guys.
Mm, yeah. And they're both top 40 players. They're similar in terms of why you would draft them. You would draft them for defensive stats, rebounds, and efficiency. And they're both doing that. So I just thought this was a good one.
I would agree. I'm really curious to see how this plays out. We all know that Kessler, I guess, was a bit of an injured guy last year as well. Like, he was in lineups, out of lineups. He came back. He was middling. You could have picked him up on the waiver wire in some cases, which just seems like an odd thing to say. Poeltl was the same. He really struggled under the new coach to start the season off. Both of them had really down seasons. So when you're even looking at their rankings, if you were doing the research where they finished the year, it was on the back of their really strong second halves of the season or strong runs of the season. Poeltl obviously being much, much more well down because he didn't play to finish the season, and Kessler played himself back into some kind of form. But this is a really good start for both of these blokes. Who are you looking at long term here, Kingy?
Yeah, it is really tough because I think often with these there'll be you could make a case for one over the other because of their team's record or injury history or. But, I mean, Poeltl, I guess, has a bit more of an injury history, but that's just because he has more of a history, I think.
This is true.
Their teams are probably on similar trajectories. Like, I don't think either team are going to, well, probably not be in the playoffs, maybe play in, but you could make a case for either player being shut down or rested or whatever we want to call it. For me, it would probably come down to a little bit of statistical, and like I said, they are very similar, but I think Poeltl has slightly more upside in points. I think he's probably more likely to get you 15, 16 points from time to time, where I think Kessler is probably better in blocks. So he's probably 2.5 blocks, whereas Poeltl is 1.8, 1.9, something like that. So, yeah, that might be the deciding factor. For me, I'd probably go with Kessler just because I think he's a bit more of an unknown, and I feel like he probably thinks he's got a bit more to prove.
I think Kessler's like got a bit of a chip on his shoulder after last year, to be honest. And I'm just looking at their ADPs from this year, and it's taken me a while. I'm down now at 80 to get the overall for these guys. So you're starting to look at guys. I know Kessler's before this. I must have just missed. Oh, here we go. Poeltl was the 99th guy. So this is a guy. Oh no, geez, here we go. This is an interesting one. Based on between Yahoo and ESPN, not including Fantrax, Poeltl was actually drafted at 99, 93 on Yahoo, 102 on ESPN. Kessler was 90 and 114, meaning his ADP was 102. This is exactly where you take, like, look at these guys and be like, bam, you get the value. And you don't sell high because what you got yourself was a really stable dude to back up your teams on draft day. I want to pivot straight into another ADP battle because I know, like, we're on a time. We want to get through it but this is another interesting one. I want to get to them in a second. We'll weave them in. We'll weave the ADP battles in. I know it's like you've thrown me the car keys and I'm allowed to drive for the night, which is nice. Thank you, Daddy. They did take a bit of a loss today, and I cut a guy off. I was going to put a guy in, but he played well today and did what I wanted him to do, so I didn't end up picking this bloke. But we're going to weave in a look at the Houston Rockets getting a win, which I was surprised by. Massive game for Şengün. Like, that box score, 26, 14, 5 assists and 4 blocks. Massive for him. The Knicks, 19 rebounds for Cat. Huge game, 17 points. Mikal Bridges, again, 3 from 8 from 3. 37% good. It's coming up. Mikal's looking good. But this just shows their lack of depth off the bench for the New York Knicks. But we're going to get nothing but fantasy gold possibly from their starting five, Kingy.
Yeah, they were. I think I did look at their box score today, and it's pretty scary just how little they got from their bench. Where is it? Here we go.
How's this? I can see what they got from their bench. 3 points.
3 points. Yep.
They got 3 points from their bench. That is atrocious. That is Thibodeau shit at its absolute finest. This is their total bench stats. 3 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. It's like Jalen Smith just walked out onto the court and played like for the other team for a second, because that's what you could get for like 9 minutes of him from the Chicago Bulls. That was between Sims McBride. Like, that's 0 from 9 from Deuce McBride. Ouch.
Yeah, I said on my show, hopefully no one started him today, because that would have been a rough night for you. And he won't. I mean, he's not going to be this bad every night. But
no.
But yes, it definitely highlights the lack of depth in New York. And yes, I mean, they do have Precious Achiuwa out, and Mitchell Robinson, I guess. But even that, I mean, that they're both centers, so. Like in terms of forwards, they have no one. Cameron Payne is sick. They've got
NBL legend Ariel Hakpori.
They do. If they get injured, they're in trouble.
Yeah, and they are. And that was evident today, because this was a really good game. I actually had this bloke on my disappointing All-Stars top five, but I've taken, after reading your list, I changed my list. I changed my starting five, because this was the game from Fred VanVleet that I wanted. This is just the game that I needed to see to know that it wasn't an illusion for me. Like, this was the game from Fred. 19, 2 rebounds, only the 5 assists, but the 2 steals, and I believe his first block shot of the season, which is what I love from FVV, and I got that tonight. Green did green things. Jabari Smith Jr. continues to underwhelm. And a good game from Dylan Brooks, who always races. But again, Amen Thompson off the bench, living his dream. But this brings us to our next ADP battle before we go into the Nuggets one. This is OG Anunoby that you brought to the table versus Christian Braun. We'll get to the Nugs next. But look, this is a guy tonight, again, who's playing his role really, really well in New York, and a guy who's playing his role really, really well in Denver. Both of the starting fives of these teams are stacked, you would say, and they play a very similar game. Where does it fall to you here, Kingy? Because this is a really interesting one.
Yeah, this was one, again, I try to pick at least one guy that I've targeted. And Anunoby, I got him in probably 3 or 4 leagues. So I found him. And he's at 69 at the moment, which is, I think, fine. I think that's probably where you want him, in that range. And then I thought, okay, who can I look at around his area? And Brown is right next to him. I glanced over and I looked at their stats, and they're eerily similar. Both ends of the court, like minutes, everything. But they're two guys that were positioned very differently in terms of ADP. So their Yahoo ADP on here, Anunoby was, his ADP was about 80, and Christian Braun was about 142. So,
and I'll tell you the average of OG between both of them, because I've still got up the Fantasy Pros website. I know that OG, when I last look at him, he was down in the 80 zone. There we go. He was at 94. He was at 79 at Yahoo and 109 on ESPN. But Braun fell off a cliff with his ADP.
Yeah, I think people saw the preseason and thought Julian Strouther might come for his minutes or something like that. And from opening night, it's been pretty clear that it's not. It's Christian Braun, and he's been really good.
Really good.
Who would I rather?
I can let you think, because I didn't get to answer. I've got my gut instinct straight away. It's Braun.
Yep.
I'm only going to take him. I like OG more. I'm actually more invested in leagues with OG Anunoby. But I just think with the injury history of OG, I would like the safety of Braun, whatever you want to put it. But I also just think that he is what they really need in a spark plug. Like, he just seems to bring an energy to that team that they really, really need. And like, Jamal Murray was out today. They eat the win out over the Raptors. But this was like a really good game from him in his 36 minutes. And I think this is kind of what we can expect with a couple more of assists along the way. I'd just love to see the free throws go up a little bit with the bloke. But I think I want Braun overall.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think this is one where you could make a case for either of them. Anunoby is obviously one injury away. Like, if they lose anyone in their starting five, everyone else has to step up. So he could... easily see a period where he's a top 50 player or a top 40 player, where I think Brown is just going to be consistently top 80, top 60. Like, he'll float in this range. So I think, I think maybe Brown is, it sounds weird to say it, but I think he's safer. But
That's what I, like, my gut straight away when we were doing, like, I think it's Brown. Like, my gut was just overwhelmingly saying him, but this is a guy, OG Anunoby, who I'm actually more invested in, who I actually sought out in drafts. I'm like, if this guy's going to fall to me anywhere outside 45, I'm going to take him. Like, I'm just going to swoop in. I'm going to take him. I think he's going to be decent. I like what he does. I think the attention really shifted to Mikal Bridges being the pickup in New York and Cat. And therefore, I got a little bit of under the radar action going on with OG. It hasn't disappointed so far, put it that way.
No, and I, much like you, I have Anunoby in, as I said, a few leagues, and I have Brown in one. I actually managed to get him off waivers last week, which I was surprised he was there.
Wow.
I think people just didn't see him. I'm not sure how he was there. But Anunoby, if you want steals, I would go with Anunoby, and that's why I drafted him, and he is averaging 1.5 per game. But other than that, I think Brown is probably the guy there.
I'm really talking about guys we added in. Here's a dude that I added in three leagues today, by the way, because we did touch on one earlier. Bub Carrington. I saw him available in three leagues this afternoon, and I just took him. I just took the Bub machine. And that was a guy that was one of my big pickups. Talking about another, we did go across the Raptors before as well. Interesting line. You did say another big Dick game. This is true. 26 points for Grady Dick. And we're going to get to that in a second because that's really important. That's going to feature again. But I love seeing this again from Abaji. I accidentally started him today. And purely, I accidentally started him in the World Cup because for some reason on the Wi-Fi where we were up at Port Stephens, I couldn't get on all the time. And then I would find out you didn't. So I thought I'd set all my fan tracks lineups. I'm like, geez, I wonder how my team went today. I've got like three on fan and not one of them set. And I just shook my head, including AD on the bench. But for surprisingly enough, I'm still up. I have no idea how that happened. But Bub Carrington, that was my big ad from the day. Getting to our next ADP ad, because I missed these guys earlier on. They had a absolute humdinger of a game, a 1-point win versus the Miami Heat. This was a classic De'Aaron Fox game today. Keon Ellis getting the start with Kevin Huerta being out. I loved Ellis. He was one of my disappointments from the season. He was supposed to be the starter, according to Brown. We know that Brown is a liar, and I can't stand this. Like, that was just bad coaching by him. But again, a very good game from Butler today. Really good game from Jimmy Butler. One of my favorite draft day steals, plus 60, because that's where he was going in some leagues, which seems absurd. But De'Aaron Fox in our next ADP battle. You don't know this one, so I'm just throwing it out to you right now. This is the one that I'm surprising you with from my end today. De'Aaron Fox versus Trae Young, because Trae Young was the player that everyone invested heavily in the first round pick. And he has been, I won't say underwhelming, but he's at 32. So, of course, when you're getting a third round value from your first round pick, you're concerned. But one place above him in the rankings right now in Ninecat is De'Aaron Fox. He's playing well. Is this what we expect for in an Atlanta Hawks team that doesn't look that great? And there is a real possible shutdown, maybe brewing for Trae Young towards the back end of the season, whereas we know the Kings are going to want to push for their third consecutive playoff appearance kind of thing. Like, what are we looking at here, Kingy? Because for me, I think this is really, and their box scores, Trae Young is less points than De'Aaron Fox. He's less rebounds. I mean, the assist at 11 a game are absolutely stellar. But De'Aaron Fox, 2 steals a game, 484 for field goal percentage, and an incredible free throw shooting year for him at 861. So you tell me, what am I thinking here? Where's your ADP battle leaning on these guys?
Yeah, I've got both of these guys. Trae Young, more so.
Okay.
I still think I lean Trae Young slightly, and I think today's game drags his averages way down because he's only played, what are they, 7 games, 6 games, 8 games he's played.
Eight games.
Today he had, what do you have? 2 points.
Six 2 points.
2 points.
Horrible.
That drags him way down. So the assists sort of do it for me. I mean, he's averaging 11. I think he'll potentially lead the league. He'll be in the top three anyway. So I think at this stage it's probably Trey just, but De'Aaron Fox, in terms of return on investment at the moment, it's clearly Fox, because Trey Young was going at pick 9, pick 10, where Fox was, what was his ADP?
Let's bring Yahoo back ADP up the fantasy person.
Yeah, Yahoo was 27. Trey was 12 on Yahoo. So
they've got him, 23 overall.
Yeah. So in terms of where you drafted them, it's clearly Fox at the moment. He's performing at level. Trae Young's also shooting 39% from the field, so he's going to be better than that. So it's probably still him slightly, but it's pretty close. I actually looked at these two names as one of my ADP battles as well.
Oh, okay.
So I'm glad I didn't send it through.
I'm glad you didn't send it through either. I had prepped that one first, so this is very lucky for me. But it's an interesting thing, because Trae Young's inefficiencies, we know, have been there. This is where he has been the last couple of years. I guess we hoped for more from him with the DeJounte Murray absence, but maybe it's just too... But again, we have to remember what the full range and gamut of emotions is to be a Trae Young owner with his inefficiencies when he is the driving offense, because even Jalen Johnson has been well down in the rankings from where we expect him to be. Dyson Daniels has almost been the shining light fantasy-wise for the Atlanta Hawks in many ways, after even missing some games.
Yep. He wasn't great today, it wasn't a close game. I think this is just a game you have to forget about.
Back-to-back set too, wasn't it? The Atlanta Hawks. Did they play the day before?
Maybe. I don't know when they played. As I said, my brain is so foggy at the moment. I have no idea who played.
Hello. We've got our first Q&A here. Here we go. When are you ready? Oh, g'day, mate. How are you? This is when you're ready. He's got a league and ball page that he won over in one of the Insight live shows as well. So I wonder how you're doing, mate. With Aaron Gordon calf injury, who was the pickup? Watson or Strother? Let me check the minutes again today, because I've always thought that Strother brings – it's. Yeah, it's.
I think it's Watson.
Yeah, Watson got the minutes today. 30 minutes. Strother. Yeah, I think it is Watson, to be fair. I think Strother is the guy that we can expect to get a little bit more burn for the guard spots, but I do think Watson is the guy that gets the field today. And he was good today, too. 16, 3, 1, and 2 steals, 2 blocks. Like, that's. You really love that, but it's the efficiency there that we love. The attempts and the aggression from him to the line. That's what I really like from Watson today. I think he got there like eight or nine shots from free throw attempts today. I have to look up their
score. I think they're both good. Like, I think we need to – I've got both of them in a dynasty league. I think we need to because Jamal Murray's probably out for a couple more games, they've said. And Westbrook had a good game today, which that means he'll probably have 2 weeks of bad games.
2 weeks of bad games, yeah.
Yeah, and if that happens, Strouther will get more minutes as well. So I think both of them, but I think in terms of if we're just talking about the replacement for Aaron Gordon, it's Peyton Watson, just because they play the same position.
Agreed.
And I think Watson has the better across the board appeal, where Strouther is more of a points guy.
Yeah, agreed. I think Watson is to pick up there for sure, Wenyu. So make sure you get that one in. We did say we would do this before we got out of here tonight. This was the all disappointment first team. I asked you to give me a list of 5 guys, Key, that you thought had thoroughly underwhelmed that you would put on your first team disappointments for your fantasy season. This is for any reason, most likely because they've underperformed our ADP. This is not a buy low or anything. It's just that right now, at this moment, they have disappointed you. So this is your 5. Talk us through them, mate.
Yeah, so again, I went with players that I drafted. So I went with guys that rather, because I could easily say, who could I say? And also I'm not factoring in injuries, so I'm not going to say someone that's played 2 games. And so like Emmanuel Quickley, I'm not going to say him. because he's, well, he only played, what, 10 minutes of a game or half a game or something.
Wait until you get to my list. That's all I'm going to say. This is going to revolutionize it. Go on.
Cool. Okay. So yes, I went with guys that I invested in. So these are guys that I was potentially high on and they've been disappointing. All right. So who were my five again? All right. Let me bring them up.
I've got them here. I've got your five. Your five. I'll bring it back. I'm making a photo right now for you, Kingy. I'm making a photo right now. Here we go. I'll bring it back up on the screen. You started with your point grad in Alex Caruso.
Yeah, so he's a pretty obvious one because he is playing 20 minutes a game. He's averaging, 3 points or something, 2.5 points a game. It's ridiculously low. And look, to be fair, I drafted him because I wanted steals and maybe blocks, but steals mainly. But I thought I'd get sort of an efficient guy who could get me a couple of threes. He's getting steals. He's getting absolutely nothing else. And the steals aren't actually that high. I think he's at about 1.5.
Yep.
Which is good, but I can definitely stream in 1.5 steals a game over the course of a week. So what's that? Six, if he's got four games, I can definitely stream in six steals. He's someone that I got in a couple of leagues and I think I've dropped him in at least one or maybe two, and maybe I'm holding him in one, but yeah, it doesn't look good. Like there's nothing to indicate that his role is going to all of a sudden go up to 26 or 27 minutes.
Agreed. Your next one in your spot there is Scooty Henderson. Scooty McPortland drive through.
Yeah, he's we weren't sure if he was going to start, but I just figured that Portland would, given how much they invested in him, he was a high draft pick. I thought he looked pretty good down the stretch last year. I thought that they would try to get him out there for 30 minutes a night. And he's been okay. He's getting some assists, he's getting some points, but I think he didn't play a lot tonight. Delano Banton played over him. They have got other guys that are stepping up, like Tamani Kamara has been really good, and he was not on anyone's radar coming into the season.
He's on our radar in like April. Silly season favorite, Tamani Kamara.
Yeah. But he's been good, and I think Simons has been okay, and Jeremy Grant was good for about a week. Ayton's been solid enough. So they've got other guys doing things, and so Henderson just hasn't kept pace with them, and so they're okay to play him 22 minutes a night or 27 minutes. It varies, and yeah, so he's another guy that I don't think I've dropped him yet, but he's definitely underperformed compared to where I thought he would be.
I would agree. Your next one on your list here is Miles Bridges.
I didn't draft him anywhere. I had him in a keeper league. So I had him in a league where we had to pick two keepers, and it's an auction, and I got him last year off waivers. So his keeper value for me was very cheap this year. It was six bucks. And I thought, for $6, I've got to keep him. So that's the only thing that I can sort of say that of salvages this, that I only got him for $6, but he's terrible. I don't know what's going on with him. He just looks rough.
I'm going to go over some interesting fantasy news that I could talk about waiver wise with that one. I would agree with Miles Bridges. It's choppy as hell, but a rough start. Similar spot here, filling up your other forward bucket as well as the come bucket, Jonathan Kuminga, who was, I guess you could say, we were all keen. I was on the Kuminga train. You put me on that. You're like, actually, I really think good things for him. This is very surprising to see him underperforming this much on this team that really needs him.
Yeah, and I think that was where we were sort of high on him, is that we thought, well, outside of Steph, who is going to score? We didn't see Buddy Hield being the best shooter in the world all of a sudden. We didn't see Andrew Wiggins remembering how to play basketball. So I think there have been a few reasons for it, because they've had other guys doing it. And Kuminga has looked better the last couple of games, but the minutes aren't there. There's rumours of sort of tension and the fact that he is still not viewed. They didn't offer him his extension.
Yep.
So is he going to be traded? I think at this point, I hope he gets traded to a team like, I don't know who, Washington, Port, like a team that can just throw him out there for 33 minutes a night and see what he's got. Because I think if he sticks on the Warriors, he's not going to hit the ceiling that we thought he had.
This is what we're hearing, trades of him going over to the Miami Heat for Jimmy Butler, a seasoned professional, an organization. Like, if they threw him out there and if he got that, if that was a trade that you saw, he is a must-have because he is immediately going to take those Jimmy Butler minutes and do all of the work that he needs to. And you run, don't walk to your waiver wire, and you add him instantly.
Yep, for sure.
Your big man to finish out your starting five is one Rudy Gobert, the benched French center. You were underwhelmed by the big man.
Yeah, he's sort of, I think if you've rostered him, you're probably not aware of how bad he's been, which I wasn't until I was just going through and I was looking at ADPs compared to ranks and that sort of thing. And his ADP was around 50. He was going in that bunch of centers in the fourth and fifth round with Jalen Duren. And he's been okay. He's had a couple of good games, but he's averaging 10 and 10 with a block. Like that's Isaiah Stewart numbers, and that's bad. So he's 102nd in 9-cat. I mean, I think he probably gets better, but we thought without Cat, his rebound numbers would probably go up. Defensive numbers might go up. Like we didn't see him coming down, and Randall has been really good. Gobert has not. And I know against when they played the Spurs whenever a few days ago, Wemby showed him up. Like Wemby really outplayed him.
He took it personally. He took it so personally.
Yeah. So, look, I think we're not dropping Gobert or anything like that, and I think he'll end up probably, based on what we've seen, I don't think he gets to top 50, but maybe he gets to top 70, sort of 13 and 12 with 1.5 blocks. But I think those numbers, like we were hoping for sort of 15 and 14 with 2.2 blocks, I'm not sure we're going to get there. I hope we do, but, yeah, it's been disappointing.
It's been really underwhelming right now. I guess that's part of the Rudy Gobert experience, just disappointing. My all disappointment first team is a little bit different from yours because I have factored in injuries to start because you can be disappointed by injuries because when you draft someone and then they're not present, I know that it depends on the league that you're in, how many games, the head-to-head wins versus how many head-to-head categories you're accumulating over the course of your season as well. And you might be like me, I lost 3 points last week in our World Cup match against the Philippines by one category, three-pointers. Guess who's on my bench? Because I only had to stream it threes. I lost by two threes. Yeah. Emmanuel Quickly. I am holding so much Emmanuel Quickly stock. I love Nes Quick. So for me, my disappointment's driven by, okay, who was injured to start the season and also where is it not? So he gets my first one. I've seen 14 minutes of action out of Emmanuel Quickly, and I want him to be in my team so badly, and I am disappointed every time I have to look at my IL spot. It takes up an IL spot. I didn't expect that. I've got two IL spots, Kingy, two IL plus spots, and they're taken up in the first 2.5 weeks of the season. So I'm like over a barrel because I drafted some really good value guys, including one of the other blokes on the list you'll see. But like Kristaps Porzingis, when he fell to me at 120 and Trey Murphy at 102, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put these guys, I'm going to draft them, I'm going to put them IL and I'm going to stream and I'm hoping that I have I didn't see coming. And then I could, you know, just write off the waivers and then activate them one by one as they come in. That was my strategy and it has backfired in my face with Nes Quick going down after 14 minutes. Which absolutely hurts. So that's disappointing for me. The next one here, though, for me is D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell, I'm not going to say that I thought good things about him because it's D'Angelo Russell, but I did think good things for D'Angelo Russell, especially in a team that was the exact same copy and paste from last year. They needed to take more threes. Love him or hate him, he is probably one of the only offensive weapons, one would argue, in this team that's outside of their starters. The emergence of Austin Reeves I saw. So I thought that maybe Reeves would overtake or they could switch on the podium, but I expected Russell to do exactly what he had done last year to maintain some form of trade value. Unfortunately, he is ranked 134th right now in 9 category leagues, which is absolutely atrocious. This is a guy who finished top 60 last year. He is not being efficient. We saw it today. These against a bigger defender and a bigger guard like Cade Cunningham, the man was absolutely cooked. His field goal percentage is 382, down on what he usually is, averaging 12 points a game, 1.7 threes, 2.4 rebounds. The 6 assists is nice. And the free throw percentage for him, look, that's up. That's a plus 900, which we love from D'Angelo Kingy. But it's really disappointing to see him not lighting up the 3 threes a game that he needs to be getting. The 16, 17, 18 points, we need that. But there's like this, the one steal a game is fine. But to be at 134, half the value that he was last year, for me, that's disappointing from where I saw him.
It has been. I didn't take him anywhere. That's why he's not on my list, but he has been very disappointing. And the reason I didn't take him was he does this. Like he'll have his periods of inconsistency are sustained. Like he'll have a month of being crap and then a month of being good. It's not like he goes in a week, you'll get 2 good games, 2 bad games. It's usually you get 12 bad games and then 9 good games. So he's been disappointing. And for quickly, I have him in a couple of IR spots as well, which has been really disappointing. The good thing is, though, in every league that I have him in, I have Grady Dick. So I'm okay.
You're laughing. I'm okay. I love that you're rocking yourself to sleep on it. I've got Dick. I'm okay. I've got Grady. No, and look, that's the thing as well about D'Angelo Russell. I feel bad and it's disappointing because I gave advice that said, look, it's fine. You can draft D'Angelo Russell, especially if he falls to you outside the 70s. Like if he's sitting around 70, 75, that's a fine pick. Not a problem. I don't own him anywhere because I'd already got my guards, like because I stacked my guards early, like Emmanuel Quickly. And those other dudes, so I had filled up those spots, but that was it. The next one on the list is, this is an interesting one. And people are like, why are you talking about Anthony Edwards? I don't own him anywhere. The main reason that I don't own Anthony Edwards absolutely anywhere is because when he moved into people taking him into the first round, I was not okay with it. I was not there being like absolutely first round. That's why he's on my first team, because people were on him. If you bring up his ADP, it is all over the place. And in fact, at the end of the day, he ended up going, Anthony Edwards was 9 and 8 respectively on Yahoo and ESPN. So he was 8.5 overall. Now, why that can disappoint for me is that right now he's ranked at 61. So of most of these guys outside Giannis, he is really down. Now, the points, they're nice, 27.3. Let's bring those to the party. The 5 threes a game, absolutely fantastic. But the 5 rebounds, the lower playmaking than it was last year, the less than steal, less than block. Now, look, the efficiency is 468. We love that. But the thing which is killing him right now, on a guy who is really athletic, who loves to get to the free throw line, he is getting to the line 5 times a game, and he is at 640 for the year, which is really dragging this guy down. And you don't expect him to be this bad from the free throw line, but this is why Anthony Edwards to me is underwhelming, because this is a guy who's getting fifth round value, Kingy, sixth round value, and people are investing a first round pick or a very, very early second round pick in him.
Yeah, he's another one I don't have any stock in because of that reason. He was just going too high for me. I mean, he's obviously better than this. I think, even watching the games and the listening to the commentary, that sort of thing, it appears as though, whether it's under instruction or just him personally, he's taking a lot more threes. So I think he might be leading the league in threes.
I think he is.
At one point, he's pretty close. He was averaging last week. 5.1 threes per game.
He's still there, just above the legend that is Buddy Hield and LaMelo Ball. And the no longer hitching my shot, Jason Tatum.
Yeah. Okay. So, and look, that's good. Like, obviously, that it's a game predicated on the ability to shoot threes now. So it's good that he's shooting threes, but it does take away one of the advantages that he has, which is that athleticism and getting to the basket, and which at the moment doesn't look like a bad thing because he's shooting 64% from the free throw line. So
correct.
I think he'll figure it out. I just think without Kat there, he's probably just adjusting a little bit to life with Julius Randle because he's a very different player to Kat. So I think he'll get there. He'll be better than this, but I don't think he gets to top 20 is probably best case scenario. I think he's probably in that third round.
I think this is done. I would agree, and I think this is the lesson that we learned, is as much as we like the experience that is Anthony Edwards and as much starting five as we can binge, we don't put a first-round pick in Anthony Edwards at the end of the day. And we just hope that this is the general en masse getting it and we pick him up in the third round or late in the second round. So we don't feel like we've just expelled our first-round pick on a guy who's returning that value. The next guy on my list is, again, I put injuries into this. I'll cover the last two in one. Injuries. And this is the tale of two injuries. It's Desmond Bane and Isaiah Hartenstein. Now, I took Bane in every draft that I could when he fell to me wherever he did, because I thought he was a little bit underdrafted at times, and that was creating a good little bit of a value vacuum for Bane. Seeing him go down on a team that he was the best player in fantasy at last rank at 41 is a real disappointment and blow, because this is 11 games that's out on a Memphis Grizzlies that haven't looked great. The emergence of Scottie Pippen Jr., amazing. Love that for him. But seeing him go down is, we want our stars or our players healthy, but it just emphasizes again their health, which goes into Isaiah Hartenstein. The leagues that I own him in are the ones that drafted before his injury during the preseason, which I've always said, buyer beware. Like, I'd even start my fantasy, and I did in two leagues, started my fantasy season after week one. So we got the last night of fantasy. And you've got to give it 24 hours in Yahoo or 48 hours in Yahoo to have your league active. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's probably my biggest disappointment, that I haven't got to see this OKC Isaiah Hartenstein experience yet, because I wanted that so badly. You know how high I was on him in the preseason, but not to see that, it's got to make my list because I haven't got to see him out there in the regular season. I've managed to draft him into IL in a couple spots, and I'm really looking forward to that. But again, you just want to see your players healthy. And I think to see these three guys, especially, that's why they've made my team, not being able to play the games that I want to see them play has been underwhelming.
Yeah, it has. I'm just looking here at Hartenstein. I have him in six teams. So I feel you in that one. I have him in six teams. So I have him in six IR spots. And in two of the leagues at least, he was my only center because I punt really hard. And so and look, it's okay. Like, I'm staying afloat because of my punt, but because I had to move him out, I think my starting centers, Mo Wagner in one of the leagues.
Oh,
and
bless your socks. Bless your cotton little socks.
Yeah, and then I think I picked up Goga Badadze today in another one as well. So, please Hartenstein come back. Although he's still got a brace on his hand. I saw him on the bench today. Yeah, he's still got that brace on. So, we're probably still at least, 2 weeks away, 2-3 weeks from him returning.
And I can tell you now, like that these injuries with the hand, like I just found out today that when my MRI came back on my fractured wrist, I've got the C in the L bone, not the wrist itself that was initially diagnosed. And they'd be able to pick this up a lot quicker in those. But my hand isn't where it should be because there's two other things they didn't notice because the bones are so tiny and small. Mm. It can take a little bit, and it does take some healing time. So for me, I just want him back. I just want Trey Murphy back too. Like, I drafted Trey Murphy in, I think, what was it? You got my text message about this, six or seven leagues. I have so much Trey Murphy stock. I'm literally like the injured all-stars team at this point. The G Wizzles are getting pummeled by injuries, and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, I'm in enough leagues that I'm I'm losing because of injuries in a few and poor picks, but then in some others I'm sitting nicely up the top undefeated. So you play in enough leagues, you're going to win some.
You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. That is what it is to be fantasy, and this is what it is to keep on following all the action you can on FBI Basketball International and, of course, over at Insight Fantasy Sports and the Man King. You're doing daily shows, mate.
No, I think I was planning on doing 5 a week, but it's turned into 7.
Madman. You're a madman.
Which is fine. I don't know if that'll last, but no, I mean, I'm enjoying doing them, and you do get in a bit of a rhythm. So
you do.
It does depend. Like this weekend, I won't be able to do them because I'll be away. So I will miss a couple, and then next weekend I'll be in Sydney with you. So won't be able to do a show that night.
We might just do one live off of camera phone. There we go. We'll just do it from
the live. Yeah, we could do that. Or take a laptop to wherever we're going for dinner and do it. But no, look, I'm enjoying the. It's good to have basketball back. So I like talking about it. I mean, I can't talk to my family about it, so I might as well talk to a computer screen.
It's the 16th and 17th, isn't it? You're here, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, concert night, baby! Woohoo! Yeah,
not for me. My daughter is going to a concert. I am not. Glad. Thankfully, her boyfriend is coming and he is going to look after her. I don't have to.
Well, you can make sure you can check out all of King's daily stuff at AdamKing91 and at FBI Basketball International. Like we mentioned, I am at NBAGWiz, part of the team at Insight Fantasy Sports. You can find out at Insight FS for all of your NBA dosages. Everyone, like, subscribe, do all the things. If you don't like, just like and subscribe both of the videos right now. Just follow, get the notifications, and take care. See you later.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.